Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeBanyard. Coming up in this hour, a mystery from two detective shows. Later on, we'll hear It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, from 1956. But right now, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Starring Dick Powell, Raymond Burr, Virginia Gregg, and Alan Reed. This episode called The Enigma of Big Ed, from April 4th, 1952, on ABC.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Another transcribed adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Now, let's see. I play the red nine on the black ten. Move the eight of spades off this pile and put it over here. That gives me another king. Where's the three clubs? I'll sneak a look under here. No, ain't there.
Hello?
Now, I'll be with you in a minute. Where do you suppose that's 3 o'clock? Oh, well. Diamond Detective Agency. Anyone for Pinochle?
Rick, don't tell me you're still at it. If you told me an hour ago, you'd quit as soon as you'd won one game.
One game? That's nice and confusing, isn't it? Helen, baby, I wouldn't admit this to anyone but you, but I haven't even come close.
I was afraid of that. Have you tried stacking the deck?
Helen! That's cheating.
I know, but have you tried it?
Well, just once. But only in self-defense, and even that didn't help. I still lost.
Well, then I'm afraid you're hopeless. Why not give it up and come over here? We could play some gin.
Oh, no. I owe you 1,369 toothpicks now. That rate will have to buy a lumber camp.
You there on the telephone.
Me?
Yeah, you the boss?
Well, no, not exactly. I'm just the owner.
That's good enough. If that's somebody wanting to hire you, tell him to call back.
Greg, is that man ordering you around?
He's trying.
You hear me? I said tell him to call back.
Now, just a minute.
That's right, killer. Stand up to him. We don't have to take no guff.
Well, honey, I wish you were here so we could get a look at the size of
it. You gonna hang up or not?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir? Richard Diamond, did you say yes, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I mean, bye. Bye, Helen, dear.
Okay. You said you were the owner of this outfit? That means your name's Diamond?
Yes, sir.
My name's Ed Barton, Diamond. Don't bother shaking hands, because I got a hunch you ain't going to go for the deal I'm laying down. That way, there won't be any hard feelings. Reason I say that is because I've already been to 3 or 4 of you guys, and they didn't go for it. For my money, you're all a bunch of lilies.
Well, look, Mr. Barton, you don't...
Now, don't get me wrong. That ain't saying you're like the rest of them. Truth of the matter is, I hope you ain't. The deal I got to offer takes a guy with a little backbone.
Well, suppose you tell me what the deal is before you get too involved with my sacroiliac.
You've heard of the Barton Metalworks? Well, that's me. I'm the boss. Started out 15 years ago with a forge and an anvil. Today, I got over 40 men working for me, turning out some pretty big jobs. Contracts a lot of these guys around town would give their eye teeth for. If it's made of metal, Barton will make it. That's my motto.
Well, that's as good as some of mine. Go ahead.
Diamond, it took me a long time to get this thing going the way I want it. And now somebody's trying to mess it up for me. Trouble is, I don't know how much longer I can hold out. Loyalty is one thing, and staying with the sinking ship is something else again.
Very well said, Mr. Barton. Now, would you like to tell me what it means?
Yeah, 4 men quit on me yesterday, Diamond. 6 the day before, and no telling how many today. Word's getting around that the plant is jinxed.
Must be a pretty good reason for it, Mr. Barton. Men don't give up their living over a superstition.
Of course there's a reason for it. Why do you think I'm here?
You tell me.
Because I've had 2 accidents down at the plant in the past 4 weeks. 2 men killed in less than a month. That's a lot of accidents, Diamond.
Yeah, it does seem to be stretching things a little.
So now, just because of that, the whole plant's supposed to be bad luck. Diamond, my production's beginning to slack off.
Mm-hmm. Well, just how accidental were these accidents?
Craziest things you ever heard of. Mike O'Brien tripped and fell over a steel rod. Larry Martin got in the way of the big hammer. Just one fool thing after another. Somebody's out to do me dirt, Diamond, and they're trying to get at me through the plant.
Yeah, but why, Mr. Barton?
How do I know why? They just are, that's all. Don't ask me if I got any enemies. I probably got more enemies than any man on the face of the earth. People just don't like me.
Can't understand that. Soft-spoken fellow like you. So the idea is you want to hire me to go down there and see who's out to get you, huh?
That's right. Got a job already picked out for you down at the plant.
You mean I have to work, too?
Well, certainly. You don't think I'm going to pay you just to run around asking a lot of fool questions, do you?
No, I guess you wouldn't, Mr. Barton.
Well, how about it? You going to back down, too?
Mr. Barton, thanks to you, my girl already thinks I'm a coward. Looks like there's only one way to change your mind. Big Ed Barton came as close to a grin as he probably ever would, dumped a tidy retainer on my desk and stuck out his hand. Coward that I am, I took off my ring and lost five fingers somewhere inside of his calloused palm. The bargain being sealed, Big Ed then drove me down to the plant.
Miller, this here's Richard Diamond, private eye I told you I was getting.
Aye.
All right. Get him some clothes and put him on it right away. This is Steve Miller, Diamond, my foreman.
Yeah.
And this guy gets $100 a day, Steve. See that he earns it.
I don't mind Big Ed, Mr. Diamond. He means well, but if it isn't made of metal, he doesn't understand it.
Yeah, I wonder how he'd react to a Geiger counter. Which way is the locker room, Mr. Miller?
Down this way, Diamond. Oh, and just call me Steve.
Oh, sure. A nice little place you got here. Being foreman must keep you pretty busy.
Full-time job, all right. I suppose Ed told you what he wants you to do.
Yep. Wait for an accident to happen to me.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. Whoever's behind this will try to get rid of you right away.
Oh, isn't there something else we could talk about? Income tax or the war or something pleasant like that?
Sure. Oh, a locker room's right in here.
Good.
Big Ed and I have both gone over the entire personnel looking for a possible suspect. But just about everybody down here has been with us over 5 years. With the plant, that is.
Well, Big Ed seems to think he's got a lot of enemies, Steve.
Oh, it's just his way, Diamond. Ed hasn't any more enemies than the next fella. Oh, here. Here's some stuff that ought to fit you.
Oh, thanks. That's quite a uniform you fellows wear.
Uniform? Oh, the overalls, you mean. Oh, not so bad after you get used to them.
Oh? How long you been wearing them, Steve?
Most of my life, I guess. I was practically born in front of a forge. My father was a blacksmith.
All right. How long have you been with Big Ed?
From the beginning. Since before he moved out of the old shop into the plant here. Of course, I haven't always been foreman. That's only happened in the last... Oh, hi, friend. Come in for a smoke. Diamond, meet Fred Larson. Hey, what's the matter, Fred?
I'm quitting, Steve.
Quitting?
That's what I said.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Fred.
Save your breath. My mind's made up.
Oh, I see. So it's even got to you.
Look, Fred.
Who's he?
Someone who isn't afraid to get down into the furnace room and take over Larry Martin's spot at the hammer. Diamond here knows the places and jinx, don't you?
Well, I...
You better not answer that until you've been here a while, brother. I just about had it a couple of minutes ago myself.
You? How, Fred? What happened?
Raylan gave way up on number 5 catwalk. Right there where the plates are stored.
What?
That's what I said. If it hadn't been for that scaffolding, I'd have cashed in right then.
But those railings are always giving out, Fred. You know that. It's been happening for years.
Yeah. But this one just came too close. I ain't stopping to pick up my check, Steve. Mail it to me.
Those railings aren't indestructible, Diamond. They just wear out.
Mm-hmm. What was he talking about? Plates.
Oh, I'll show you when we get up there. Number 5 catwalk's right above the big hammer.
Oh, all right. Now I'm all dressed. How do I look? On second thought, don't answer that.
Oh, here's the place Fred was talking about, Diamond. Guess I can't blame him for quitting. Would have been a nasty fall.
Yeah. Hey, what's this stuff under the catwalk, Steve?
Oh, those are the plates. They're too heavy to lug back and forth, so we just store them up here on the scaffolding.
Oh, I see. You mean I'm going to work down there under these things?
That's where Big Ed told me to put you, Diamond. Now, he's the boss.
Yeah, I guess that's right. If I ever forget it, I guess he'll come around and remind me. Well, that hammer's a pretty big piece of equipment, isn't it?
Sure is. But the work you'll do isn't hard. The plates come out of the furnace hot. It's your job to flatten them out. All you have to do is flip a switch on the hammer and roll the plates.
Roll the plates? Well, after that climb, I may not even be able to flip the switch.
Otto!
Yes, Stevie?
That's Otto Schmidt. He'll handle the furnace for you.
Well, looks like he can handle the whole factory.
Hello, Stevie. Is your fellow going to take Larry's place?
That's right, Otto. Rick Diamond, Otto Schmidt.
Howdy, Otto.
Hello.
He's a new man, Otto. Never worked in a shop before.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, don't worry. I take care of him.
Just how do you mean that?
Now, take it easy, Otto. Production isn't as important as safety right now. Remember that.
Yeah, I remember, Stevie. Now, you'll be working all alone down here, Diamond. Just you and Otto.
Swell.
The main thing is to keep your eyes open.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Otto. You can take over now.
Yeah, I take over now. Yeah? Just don't get too close to hammer.
No home should be without one. It's great for scraping nails, pounding out meat.
Maybe pound out home, too. You think maybe you stay?
Sure. Why not, Otto?
You not scared, huh?
Should I be?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. What kind work you do before?
Deliver telegrams.
Say, you pull Otto's leg?
With these gloves on, don't be silly. Hey, you better heat up this plate again. Hey, this hammer's going crazy or something. What?
Look out, Diamond! Look out!
Where? What?
Up there! Look out for those plates! Jump!
Big Ed Barton had another accident on his hands. Otto Schmidt. They carried him out of the furnace room in bad shape, but alive. I went up to have a look at number 5 catwalk. And it took me about 20 minutes up there to decide that it hadn't been any more accidental than my working for Big Ed.
Oh, come on in, Diamond. I'll need your signature on this accident report.
You know, Steve, I don't think it was an accident. That scaffolding didn't come loose all by itself.
Yeah, I've still got to make out the report. Well, I have a chair. I'll have this finished in a minute.
Okay, thanks. You handle the paperwork too, Steve?
Yeah, most of it. Anything concerning the plant itself usually falls in my lap. Ed doesn't care much for office work.
I guess he would look a little out of character to that. And incidentally, how come that railing on number 5 catwalk hasn't been fixed yet? Seems to me if Fred Larson quit on account.
What?
Whose department is that anyway?
I reported it to Big Ed as soon as I could.
Oh? Well, where's Ed now?
Home, I guess. Want me to call and see if he's there?
No, that's all right. I think I'll just run over and surprise him. What's the address?
105 East Parkview. Big mansion. You can't miss it.
105 East Parkview, right. I'll sign that report when I get back, Steve.
It wasn't fixed, Diamond. Those railings cost money. I told Steve not to let that plant nickel and dime me to death, and I meant it.
Then you purposely let it go.
Wait a minute. I didn't say that.
But you don't have to, Barton. You got the report over an hour ago. That's plenty of time to get the work done.
Who told you I got the report, Diamond?
What difference does it make? You're responsible for the repairs, aren't you?
That's right. But don't think you're going to jump all over me, Diamond. Matter of fact, I didn't even know the railing was down until you told me just now. Anyway, I don't see what this has to do with what happened to Otto Schmidt.
You don't, huh? Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Barton. Someone got up there where the railing is out and loosened the braces on that scaffolding. If the railing had been up, he wouldn't have been able to reach it.
That's a lot of hogwash. I don't believe a thing.
I don't expect you to believe me, Barton, but talk to Otto. He saw who was up there. I saw part of him myself just before the plate started falling.
You mean Otto saw...
That's right.
Well, don't look at me. I told you I didn't know anything about that railing.
That's your story, Mr. Barton, and you better stick to it.
Where do you think you're going? I didn't say I was finished with you yet.
No, and I'm not finished with you, Barton. As soon as I've had a talk with Otto, I'm going to take off these overalls and get back into my own clothes, and then you can
take
your...
You mean you're quitting? Walking out?
That's right. Now, don't worry. I'm going to find out who's behind this, but I'm going to do it on my own. In case you haven't gotten the idea, Big Ed, I don't like working for you. Otto, open your eyes. I want to talk to you.
No.
No. No talk.
Why? It wasn't an accident, Otto. You know that.
No. It was an accident.
Don't you want whoever's responsible for this to pay for it?
No.
What are you afraid of, Otto? Who are you hiding?
I'm afraid it's no use, Diamond. For some reason, he just won't talk.
No, but why? What's he afraid of?
That's all the time I can let you gentlemen have. You'll have to have some rest now.
Just a minute, Doctor. Mrs. Schmidt, talk to him, will you? See if you...
No. Otto don't want to talk.
All right, all right. How long would it be before I can see him again, Doctor?
Well, that's hard to say. Several hours, anyway. You might check with the front desk later this evening. They can tell you more about it then.
All right, thanks.
Would one of you mind dropping her off? It's getting late. There's nothing she could do here.
I'll take her home, Diamond. You probably feel like a shower and a change of clothes anyway.
Thanks, Steve. But I've still got some work to do. I dropped by the Barton Metalworks to get my clothes out of the locker room, but the night watchman wouldn't let me in without a pass. Too tired to argue with him, I hopped a cab to my apartment for a change of clothes.
Diamond?
Yeah, but wait till I sit down. I just got in.
There's that Barton. Never mind sitting down. Get over to my house right away. I got something to show you.
I thought I told you.
I know what you told me, but this is pretty important.
All right, what is it?
A note. It was in my mailbox. No stamp, no address, nothing. Just the note.
A note? What does it say?
Well, the fellow used up a lot of words he didn't need, but the gist of the thing is I'm supposed to close down the plant or suffer the consequences.
Maybe that isn't a bad idea, Mr. Barton, if it'll stop these killings.
Well, it'll be a cold day in the furnace room when I close up. Of course, I might get out from under, work some sort of deal so I wouldn't lose any money.
Yeah, you might do that. But... Whoever it was had been waiting out at the fire escape. The bullet thudded into the back of my best chair, and I got on behind it, wondering which drawer I'd left my gun in this time. After a while, when nothing happened, I sneaked a look around the arm of the chair.
Diamond, what's all the noise?
There was no
what's
one there.
What's all the noise, Diamond?
And then I realized Big Ed Barton was still talking.
You hear me, Diamond? Speak up. What's going on over there anyway? What do you think?
This place gives me the creeps at night, Diamond. Especially way up here. No one around. Just a lot of machinery.
Yeah.
And what are we looking for, anyway?
Oh, I just wanted to have another look at this railing, Steve. By the way, where were you when I dropped by your place?
Just getting some air. I didn't know you were going to come by. Hey, couldn't we let this go till morning? I don't like it around here when it's quiet like this.
Why not?
Why? Just don't, that's all.
You know, you look pretty good in a suit, Steve. You ought to wear one more often.
Oh, thanks, Diamond. You really think so?
Yeah. Never know to look at you now that you were just a foreman in the factory.
Just a foreman?
That's your job here at the plant, isn't it, Steve? But doesn't it ever bother you working so many years for a guy who doesn't appreciate it? Especially now that the big contracts have started to come in, Ed's pulling in all the gravy, and you're still nothing but a foreman.
Quit saying that, will you? Quit saying I'm nothing but a foreman.
Why not? It's true, isn't it, Steve?
There's nothing wrong with being foreman. It's a very important job. I got charge of every piece of equipment, every man.
But not charge of the plant. Isn't that right, Steve? Someone else has charge of the plant.
Well, what if he has? Next to him, I'm the boss.
That's right, Steve. Next to him, you're the boss.
Suppose I told you he isn't the boss. What if I told you I was in partnership with Big Ed? What would you think of that?
I'd think it was kind of funny, Steve.
Oh, funny, is it? Well, that's the way it is. You can ask him if you don't believe me. He'll tell you.
I mean, it's kind of funny you're still wearing overalls and living in a boarding house when Big Ed has a mansion and a couple of servants. Doesn't add up, Steve.
Not now it doesn't, but it will. Partner's entitled to full rights, isn't he? Big Ed kept promising me. All these years, he's been promising me.
Promising you what, Steve?
As soon as the money started coming in. As soon as things picked up, I could get out of the plant. I could wear a suit on the job. Meet people.
Why should Barton promise you that?
Because we're partners, that's why. We went in 50-50.
When did you go in 50-50?
Almost 15 years ago. I used to work the forge. Ed'd go out and get the jobs. He got to talk to the people. All I ever got to do was handle the forge.
I think I understand, Steve.
And then because he got the jobs, he thought he was entitled to more than I was. He said it was all his doing. I was just working for him. He put me on a salary, made me work in the plant.
Well, what do you hope to get out of all this? Hating Big Ed is all right, Steve, but if he closes up the plant, you'd be out of a job.
But I won't be out of a job. I'll be in charge then. I'm a partner, ain't I?
All right, Steve, we can go back down now.
Down where? Where are you taking me?
Downtown, to talk to some people.
You mean the police?
That's right. And, Steve, just in case you've still got that gun, I think it's only fair to tell you that this time I've got one, too.
Quiet tonight, Rick.
Yeah, kind of quiet, Helen, honey.
Is it because you owe me 1,369 toothpicks?
Well, that could have something to do with it.
Then I'll get the cards and give you a chance to even the score.
Are you kidding? We'll be here for 6 months.
What's wrong with that?
Come to think of it, nothing.
That'll leave us get the show on the road. While you sing me a song, I'll set up the card table.
Oh, Helen, you are just too good to me.
Ain't it the truth?
Fella comes home from the office. He's tired, needs comforting. And there you are. I just don't deserve someone like you.
Wait a minute. You're reading the wrong part.
Oh.
Maybe you'd just better sing, huh?
Yeah, maybe I better. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me. Every road has a turning. That's one thing you're learning. I cried for you. What a fool I used to be. Now I found two eyes just a little bit bluer. I found a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you. It's your turn to cry over me.
Where'd the trombone come from?
I played it with my feet. Abe Lincoln taught it to me.
Gosh.
Gosh?
Gosh, and a whole lot of G's. Sometimes, Richard, you really get to me.
Now, steady, girl.
Richard, my fool, kiss me.
Oh, well, here.
This is a kiss?
Well, honey, after all, I'm tired, sleepy, worn out, bushed, beat. Had a busy day.
You must have had a busy week. When I say a kiss, I mean a kiss. Come here. Now, that's what I mean when I say... Rick... Rick, what's wrong? It serves me right. I'm going to have to get myself a younger detective.
Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Ty Cobb with music by Frank Worth. Virginia Gregg was heard as Helen Asher. Others in the cast were Raymond Burr, Jack Moyles, Jess Kirkpatrick, Joe Duvall, and Alan Reed. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Richard Diamond, private detective, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 4th, 1952, an ABC broadcast featuring Raymond Burr, who in that year was on many television shows like The Unexpected and The Family Theater. He also starred as Cord Hardin on the silver screen in the motion picture Horizons West with co-star Rock Hudson. It's an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, featuring Mandel Kramer and Gail Collins. This 1956 Mutual Broadcasting System episode called The Green-Eyed Dragon.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, my interest in criminals is purely professional, just like Greg's. So how would you like it if your private detective husband accused you of taking a romantic interest in one? Even if he was 6 feet tall, with black curly hair and dimples. Yes, this is Gail Collins speaking, and I'll be back in a moment to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. Now, Mrs. Collins, you don't mean to tell me Greg's a jealous sort of a guy.
Jack, all men are jealous, bless their hearts. Until your husband stamped through the apartment looking in linen closets, you haven't lived. But, you see, the time I'm talking about, Greg had a reason for being jealous.
You mean to say?
I think I'd better set the record straight. It started with television. See, I watch the wrestling on the television in a funny way. I keep the sound turned off because I can't stand the groans of agony. So there was Greg and I, sitting in the half dark, watching 200-300-pound men dancing the Swan Lake without music.
It's 25 after 10. It's about time one of those guys threw the other out of the ring.
Well, leave them alone. They're artists. They don't have to do it the way they rehearsed it if they don't want to.
There he goes. Right into the press seats. Now, Five will get you 10. He picks up a typewriter.
Oh, Greg, I can't bear to watch. He's going to kill someone.
Boy, I'll bet the devil in the pantomime tied you in knots when you were a kid.
Oh, he still does. Oh, what's happening?
Okay, take your hands away from your eyes. It's all over.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, you can turn the set off now. Oh, Greg, isn't television just wonderful?
Oh, great. You turn the set on at 8 o'clock and 3 hours later, you discovered it's a quarter past.
Beast? Can I help it if I like wrestling?
Lady, when I was a lad, we didn't sit in the dark to watch wrestling. We manufactured our own.
Greg Collins.
Yeah?
Greg Collins. That's an expert hold. Where'd you learn it?
From a dame in Miami.
Wow, it's a nice thing to tell me at a time like this.
Relax, honey, the dame was you.
Oh, Keith. Oh, Greg, I just had an idea.
Yeah? Well, let's you and I.
Oh, Greg.
Uh-huh. Answer the door buzzer.
Who could it be at this hour?
Well, I got circumstantial evidence which says it's a guy pressing our door buzzer. And I got a look in my eye, it says... Say, don't you know what time of the night it is?
Oh, I'm sorry to worry, Mr. Collins. Well, it is Mr. Collins, isn't it?
Yeah? So what?
Well, the light's a little dim, I wasn't sure. Now I am.
Oh, Greg, what's happening?
Don't move, Mrs. Collins. I've got a gun and I'll use it. You've got yourself a guest, Mrs. Collins. But don't go to any trouble. And don't make any either. Okay, Mrs. Collins?
Not that you expect a visitor to send up a card these days. But the last thing you expect is for him to walk through the door and slug your husband. And when you looked at the man who'd just done that to Greg, you didn't expect him to slug anyone. He was pleasant and definitely handsome. And when Greg started to come round, he recognized him right away.
That's right, Mrs. Collins. Just keep bathing his head. He's not badly hurt.
Who are you? What's the idea of busting in here and knocking Greg out?
Oh, I think Collins will understand when he wakes up. Don't let him do anything crazy, will you? I don't wear this gun for a dress ring.
Oh, my jaw.
Greg, wake up. There's a man here who walked through the door and hit you.
Oh, we'll buy a new door. But my jaw...
Oh, he didn't walk through the door exactly. Just opened it and hit you.
That guy? Is he the one?
Hi, Collins.
I'm glad you waited around.
I've got something we should have in common.
Greg, he's got a gun.
What? Billy. Gail, it's Billy.
That's right, pal.
You know him?
Sure I know him. It's Billy Kidd. I know him because I sent him up the river for 10 years.
You thought I was there for 10 years, but I'm out. And boy, I'm staying out.
You busted out?
There's no prison in this state that'll hold me. I told you that when they sentenced me.
Greg put you away and... And now you've come back.
You've got to understand how a guy feels locked up in a little steel cell all day. He gets to thinking about his old pals. He gets to feeling he'd like to pay back old debts with all the interest that's due. So the first call I make is in the one I owe most to. Greg Collins.
He was such a nice-looking boy, too. Only his eyes were dull. Dull and shiny. Like the gun he was pointing straight at Greg. Well, keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a moment with more of our story. I've got to hand it to Greg. Even when he's looking down the exit end of a gun, he stays calm. Of course, he's got to go to bed for a week when it's over. But at the moment, he stays calm.
I always said you were a funny guy, Billy. You break out of the pen, you come here to kill me, then they burn you. And you add it up and subtract it, it doesn't make sense.
Mr. Kidd, Greg was only doing his job. I'm sure you deserved every minute of that 10-year sentence.
Gail.
Well, it's not fair. He can't shoot you for something he did.
You got me wrong. I'm not a killer. The reason I came here is the car I was driving was hot. I had to leave it and find someone to rest up for 24 hours. So you see, I would have been here today or tomorrow.
You planned to come here?
Well, sure. It's convenient. I have to make a contact. I broke 24 hours earlier than I planned, so now I have to wait for help. I'm waiting here. You sent me away so you can help me get out. Yeah. Now I think it's time to go to bed, Collins.
You're going to stay here tonight? We don't have a guest room.
Oh, I'm not sleeping. Collins, get in your bedroom.
I haven't had my hot chocolate. I might toss and turn all night.
Oh, well, now, if you get too restless, pal, think of your wife out here with me.
What?
Why, you coming?
I need insurance. I gotta feel I can trust you, Collins. So your wife stays with me all the time from now. You sleep in the bedroom, she sleeps on the couch. I'll spend the night in a chair by the door. Like I said, Collins, I'm no killer, but you could make me one.
That was one of the worst nights I've ever spent. About one, I dozed off. And a half hour later, I woke to find Kidd standing beside me.
You awake, Mrs. Collins?
Oh, what do you want? Keep away.
Don't scream, Mrs. Collins. Just tell me where the cigarettes are.
They're in a box on the little table.
Okay, thanks. Now you can go back to sleep, baby.
Greg? Is that you, Greg?
Your husband's in the bedroom, Mrs. Collins. I'm just pouring myself a drink.
Mr. Kidd, let me go to Greg.
Oh, sorry. I've locked him in for the night.
You locked him in?
Sure. You see, I can't trust him. Would you like a little drink, Mrs. Collins?
No, it's too early in the day for me.
How did a nice-looking dame like you get caught up with Collins? Go back to sleep. Won't be light for 3 hours.
And then it was daylight. I feel terrible. And Greg looked terrible. But Kidd was as fresh as a wind off the sea. Fresh, alert, and as watchful as a copperhead.
Say, you make a swell cup of coffee, Mrs. Collins. I'll have some more.
If you're going to be with us for some time, Kidd, maybe we should lay in supplies for you. What flavor jellies do you like?
I'll be pulling out tonight. But first, you got to make a few calls for me.
I don't run messages for my guests.
You got to start getting polite. First, you got to go to the bank.
The bank?
Yeah. I took a look at your bank statement last night. It was in your writing desk.
Well, if you wanted something to read, why didn't you ask for a good book?
I want $2,000. When the bank's open at 10, go down the street and draw out the dough.
You mean you're going to let me out of here by myself?
Sure, why not? Mrs. Collins stays for security. When I leave here at 8 o'clock tonight, you can both forget you ever saw me. Until then, Mrs. Collins stays with me.
At 10, Greg left with a cash check for $2,000 in his pocket. Kid locked the front door and stood looking down into the street, watching Greg go. I watched him in my mind, hoping he'd jump the first cab around the corner and ride to that brownstone building a couple of blocks away that we both knew so well.
Well, if he shows up during the day, tell him Sergeant Morton of Precinct 19 was calling, will you? Morton, yeah, that's right. Yeah, come in. Collins, say, I begun to think you were in quarantine.
Forget the glad hand, pal, and start thinking like a cop. I'm in trouble, and so are you.
Oh, what's wrong, Greg?
If you're looking for a guy named Kid, I could put the finger on him for you.
Kid? The whole state's looking for him. He busted out of stir yesterday afternoon.
And right now he's in my apartment.
Are you kidding?
You think I'm white on the face for a joke? He's in my apartment.
That's the kind of information I need.
Hey, put that phone down.
Huh?
I said he's in there with Gail. He's got one eye on the door and the other looking down the sights of a gun. At her. If you go busting in there now, he'll kill her. Look, we've got to get this organized fast. He expects me back. Kid's leaving my place tonight about 8. A guy's calling for him.
Who?
I don't know, and I don't care. A guy's calling for him. That's your chance to take him when he leaves. You can do it nice and quiet and no mess.
Yeah? You read today's paper?
And what about him?
Kid killed a guard when he broke out. So when he leaves your apartment tonight, we'll give him one warning. Just one. Then we'll open fire.
I didn't figure your husband would be so long, Mrs. Collins. His bank's not all that far away, is it?
Our bank? Oh, our bank.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that Greg likes to walk around for a while amongst all that money. He keeps an eye on how much blotting paper they use, too. He says if you look after the blotting paper, the $1,000 bills will look after themselves. Well, I'm just passing the time. I think you'd like a drink, Mr. Kidd. You look as though you need it. I always say there's nothing like a drink when you're all tense. And you must be tense. Why, you've had no sleep all night and... Well, here's your drink, sir. Toss that off and feel better.
You drink it.
Maybe I should have put ice... What did you say?
I said you drink it. Do you think I broke out of the pen to get trapped by a dame with a glass of whiskey in her hand?
Well, I wasn't trying to trap you.
You poured whiskey long enough to stun a horse. Now, lady, you drink it.
Don't touch me.
I told you to drink it and you're gonna. Even if I have to pour it down your throat.
How smart can a girl get? I figured I could get Kid to drink himself out of this affair. And instead, I drank myself out. Because what with a whiskey Kid made me swallow, I was away on a long alcoholic journey when Greg arrived home. And this was to mean a lot by the end of the evening.
Just put the $2,000 on the table, Collins.
Where's Gail?
She wasn't feeling the best. She went to lie down.
What do you mean she wasn't feeling the best? So help me if you've heard her.
Stay on that side of the table. There's nothing wrong with her. She just had a little too much to drink.
Drink? Gail? Now, what kind of a story are you trying to hand me?
She tried to slip me a drink that would have knocked an old sailor for a loop, so I made her drink it. She's in a nice, deep sleep. I'll go in if you like. We've got a whole 8 hours to pass. If you ask me, she won't wake up until late this afternoon.
All day long, I slept the sleep of a newborn alcoholic. Greg fretted and fumed around the apartment, and Kid sat on his chair near the door and never once let his attention waver. And down the street, men came and went in a way that seemed to no purpose and yet had a deadly purpose.
How's it going, Morty? No men in their places yet?
Well, they're getting there, Lieutenant. There's no hurry.
The street's going to be pretty crowded at 8 tonight. You don't want that bystanders getting hurt.
Come 7 o'clock and that manhole just down the street from Collins' place will be open. People will have to cross over the road.
I figure our best protection is how fast we can fire. He's killed a guard. He knows if we take him, he'll go to the chair.
Unless he comes out with a gun in his hand, he won't have a chance to shoot. I'll stop him and give him one warning. If his hands don't go straight up, we'll drop him.
Collins doesn't know the guy who's going to pick Kid up.
No, he had no idea at all. The speed things are going to move at tonight, we probably won't have time to find out until it's all over.
I don't like to do it this way, but we can't risk bystanders being hurt for a crumb like Kid. So, the way it looks, anyone with Kid's going to be sorry if he doesn't surrender fast.
Greg, where are you? Greg?
Honey, you're awake.
Oh, Greg, there's a man playing the anvil chorus on my head.
Relax, honey. That's just the clock chiming 7.
Fine. I can go back to sleep for an hour.
Darling, it's 7 in the evening, not 7 in the morning.
7? Oh, 7 in the evening? Oh, Greg, I feel terrible. Oh, what happened?
Honey, why did you do it? Why did you try to feed Kid that glass of whiskey?
Oh, yeah, that's right. But did he have to hit me with a decanter?
Well, he made you drink the stuff. You went out like a light.
Greg, you went to the bank. Oh, Greg, I hoped and hoped you...
Honey, relax. It's going to be okay.
You saw Morty?
They'll be waiting for him when he walks out.
Oh, I'll never be so glad to see the end of anyone in my life. As soon as he's out of the door, I'm going to lock and bolt
it. Oh, you got over your jam, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, so you're back again. Well, let me tell you about the meanest man I know. And don't keep waving that gun around the way I feel.
Get on your feet, Mrs. Collins. Better grab yourself a coat or something so we'll be ready to leave on time.
Leave? Me?
Now just hold your horses, pal. This was never in the deal. You said you were leaving here tonight.
Didn't I mention it before, Collins? You see, I'm taking the dame with me.
No, I won't go, and you can't make me.
Sure I can make you, Mrs. Collins. I figure you can be insurance for me all the way to the border. You got nothing to worry about. Of course, if the cops turn up, well, I guess even then you won't have much to worry about. It's hard to worry with a hole in the back of your head.
Greg had thrown me to the wolves. He couldn't have organized it better. Inside an hour, Billy Kidd was going to march me out into the street with a gun in my back. And out in the street were 20 eager cops. Only one of them had to get Trigger happy, and, well, you can figure as well as I can. So don't go away. In just a minute, I'll bring you the climax of the case. One thing I have to say for Billy Kidd, he was polite. Even when he was telling you he'd kill you, he did it with a polite smile on his good-looking face. But you knew he meant it.
Use your head, Billy. If you take Gail, you're up for kidnapping. You can figure on at least an extra 20 years when the cops catch up with you.
You're not fooling me any, Collins. You know as well as I do I killed a guard when I broke out of the pen.
You killed a guard?
Why, sure, yeah, I had to. And Collins must have read it while he was out at the bank this morning.
Did you read it, Greg?
Yeah, I read it.
I figured you wouldn't do anything crazy, like telling the cops about me when you read that. You'd know I've got nothing to lose if they come for me.
Look, Billy, take me with you. If you want insurance, I'm a better deal than she is.
I don't think so. The cops don't like to be the reason for Dame getting killed.
He's right. Greg, honey, it's going to be all right. Kid wouldn't harm me unless he had to.
There, you see? Man, she wants to come.
Well, maybe there's some other way out of this. Now, look, why don't you let me organize something for you, Billy? Hole up here for another day and let me get everything straightened out.
It's all planned. So far, it's worked fine. Do you know any reason why it shouldn't keep working fine? Because if you do, Buster, you better say so now.
Yes. If you want to know...
Because if there is a good reason, I'll start to alter my plans now. The first things I'll alter is you and the dame, Collins. I'll alter you both permanently. What do you got to say?
Nothing.
Oh!
That's what I've been waiting for. Get on your feet, baby. No hurry. Okay, you answer the door, Collins. Come on, come on.
Keep your hands to yourself.
I said move. I'm in a hurry. You stay here with me, honey. Uh-huh. Okay, now open the door, Collins.
Is this Mr. Collins' apartment?
Yeah, but right now I'm pretty busy. If you come back tomorrow or next year...
Step inside, Mr. Collins. I'm here for Billy Kidd.
Come right in, honey. All ready and waiting.
Dan.
Close the door, Mr. Collins.
I knew I could count on you, honey.
Oh, Billy. Billy, it's been so long.
Oh, baby, baby. How's the girl, huh?
I thought these last 2 years would never go, Billy. Didn't think I could stand it much longer.
You mean to tell me this is the person who's going to help you get away?
We've been planning for 6 months, baby. Except for the fact that I had to break 24 hours early. It's going like clockwork.
And that's how it's going to keep on. In 2 days, we'll be across the border into Mexico. And then... Oh, Billy, let's go.
Okay. But did you see anything when you came in? Did you look around?
Yeah, I looked around like you told me, but I didn't see anything. There wasn't a cop in sight.
So this is true love. I can see it all now. The little lady promised to be true when they sent you up the river. And now you're getting set to skip the border with her.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Let him rave, honey. He saw because I used him up.
No, not so, pal. Just a muse.
I'll skip it. Okay, grab your coat, Mrs. Collins. We're on our way.
Greg.
What? I don't think there's anything for us to say to each other.
What on earth?
Hey, wait a minute. Do you mean she's coming with us?
Well, sure. Baby, you see, it's insurance. With this doll along, the cops aren't likely to give us trouble.
Pardon me if I collapse into silent laughter.
If they do, Buster, your wife's the first to go.
Billy, boy, you're not making a statement for the press. You're talking to me. Well, if you want her so bad, pal, you take her.
Greg!
Oh, let's spare me the parting. I know this thing's bigger than both of you. So let's leave it at that.
Hey, what is... Say, this guy's gone nuts.
Sure I'm nuts. I'm not as nuts as you, pal. If this dame gives me the runaround, what'll she do to you?
Just what's going on here?
I don't know what your version of this guy is. But if you think he can keep two dames happy, you're welcome to him.
Two dames?
Look, I didn't come down with the last shower. A doll who's being forced to go away with a guy doesn't make him a prisoner to $2,000. And, Billy boy, who's got 2,000 of her dolls?
That's a dirty lie. She didn't give me $2,000, you did.
Pal, I might give my wife away. But I don't give her the cash to set up house.
Listen, let's get out of here. It's almost 8.
Just a moment. I'm not so sure I like this. You didn't tell me about her, Billy.
If it comes to that, he didn't tell me about you either.
Because he's a gentleman, that's why. He doesn't bandy a lady's name around.
A lady? Don't make me laugh.
If somebody don't shut up around here, there's going to be trouble.
There's trouble already, you great lug. You don't fool me. I can see what goes on
now
here.
Listen, baby, you got it wrong. Collins is off his nut. He's jealous just because his wife took a kind of shine to
him. And what did you do? Turn your light out? Billy Kidd, I know you like I know myself. You always were a twister.
Don't you call him a twister, you man-stealer.
I've had enough of this. Now, Mrs. Collins, get your coat. Here, take it. For Pete's sake, let's get out of here.
Oh, that suits me fine, but she stays.
I don't care who stays, but let's start moving.
You cheap criminal! You don't care who stays, huh? After all I've done for you.
Bella, don't. Bella, put that to Canada.
As far as I'm concerned, they can have you back in the pen for keeps.
Bella! Oh.
And that's for you.
No, but Bella, just be a good girl. It's all over now.
Over? It's only just started.
Hey, don't. Put that vase down.
I wish it was your head.
Not our television set. What are they going to do if we can't watch the wrestling?
I don't care.
Oh, well. What's an old cathode ray between friends?
Greg?
Yes, honey?
I've been thinking...
Honey, don't. I like you the way you are.
Whatever made you jealous of Billy Kidd and me? You see, it doesn't work out. If I really was going away with Billy Kidd because I liked him, I would have been unhappy when Sergeant Merton came and loaded him onto a stretcher to take him away.
Oh, baby, I wasn't really jealous. Skip it. I was jealous because you're so beautiful.
Oh, it's okay. I know you were acting. And I acted too, didn't I? I really made out I liked him, and that upset everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to think about it, you did. I guess it was those dimples of his and those blue eyes. And that black, wavy hair.
Yeah. He was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now I come to think of it, when I was at the bank...
Greg Collins, you green-eyed monster. You really are jealous.
Well, he was a good-looking guy. You don't deny that, do you?
That's the end. I'm going to watch the wrestling.
We haven't got a television set now, remember? Now, look, I got a better idea. I once met a dame in Miami.
Yes, Greg.
Well, I voted her the dame I'd most like to cast adrift in an apartment with. And then I married her.
So what? That's no crime, Mr. Collins. Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, again, and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, the Green-Eyed Dragon. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. The weather is crime and romance. There you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from 1956. And that brings to a close our cases in this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. It's been a pleasure.